And let's open our Bibles, please, to we'll begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so you can go ahead and turn there if you like, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll open in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your Spirit, who is our guide and our teacher, that you open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears, and our heart. Let it be turned to you in Jesus' name so that we can be healed in every area of life. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we talked to you about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited to tell you we had six candidates come up after the service, and they all received. Now, some of them are still working through how to actually get this gift flowing in their life. That's okay. You know, sometimes it takes time, but there was a really good, great reception there, and I'm really excited about what the Holy Spirit did in filling those that got prayer. You know, we taught you last week that Jesus as the Lamb of God meets our need of salvation. But Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit meets our need for power. Amen? And we need power more than we realize. We really do. I was looking out my window yesterday at some really majestic looking clouds, and I was thinking about how in the spirit realm, if we could see, and most people that have had this experience will tell you from their encounter, that angels are usually much bigger than humans. And, you know, the spirit realm is greater in scope and in size than our realm. And that's okay. It's not that size matters, really. It's about authority. Amen? A little 4'11" powerhouse woman of God who knows her authority in Jesus is mightier than a 10-foot-tall demon that's in her bedroom trying to bring fear late at night. Amen? It's about authority. But I want to say this, that in the spirit realm, there are powers that exist that you and I need power over, and it doesn't come through smarts or great personalities or good looks, all right? If you've got all three, kudos to you. But that's not going to get you victory in the battle in the spirit realm when you're up against devils, amen? You need power. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, don't even think about leaving Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And so the 11 waited until the day of Pentecost. And what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them. Amen? Yep. You know, I don't know why it is that the churches nowadays, and here in the West, it's pretty popular, honestly. You talk to a lot of Christians, and it seems to be almost an optional thing, this idea of being baptized in or filled with the Holy Spirit. It was never considered an option in the book of Acts or in the New Testament. Amen? People got saved, they got water baptized, and they naturally just had prayer to receive the Holy Ghost. And they spoke in other tongues. It was a full package deal. Amen? You buy the shoes, you get the shoelaces. Amen? You buy the shoes, you get the tongue with it. Right? And they got the whole package. Why? Because Jesus said, do this. These disciples knew Jesus. They slept with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They watched him for 3.5 years, day in and day out. You know, you get to know somebody pretty well if you travel with them for 3 years. I mean, you know how their breath smells. You know their hair. You know everything, what they look like in the mornings when they first. You know them pretty well. But Jesus said, that's not enough. You need power. You need power. Amen? But I honestly think that why a lot of people consider it an option is they get hung up on the tongues thing. And you know, Jesus could have made the evidence different. The evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He could have made it something like, you know, well, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to stand on your head till your face turns red. But that's not the evidence. And I'm thankful. Amen. I like speaking in tongues better. But you know, speaking in tongues feels a little awkward. It's new to us. Amen. I don't know Spanish. I don't know French. I don't know foreign languages. But by the power of the Holy Spirit in me, I can speak what Paul said, both the tongues of men and of angels. Amen? Amen. And you say, well, what's the significance of that? How is that powerful? I don't know. But I just believe it. Amen? I don't, you know, when I flick a switch on the wall to turn on the lights, I don't have to understand the traveling of AC and DC currents and how much, you know, impedance is going on here and resistance there. I don't think about those things. I just think I want light. Amen. So don't try to figure it all out. Just tap into the power. Amen. Tap into the power. And, you know, I shared this in last week's message. I want to reiterate it, that When people, generally, when they first get filled with the Holy Spirit, they'll only get one or two syllables. And so naturally, their mind is thinking, this sounds like gibberish. This sounds like, you know, baby talk. What does a baby do? My, 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 my. And in the spirit, when you got born again, you were literally a baby in the spirit. So why should we be surprised that the language of that new born again spirit sounds a little bit like a baby going, my, 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 or da, 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 or poppy, 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 right? Doing a little propagating here. All right, you're in 1 Corinthians 1, right? Let me quote these two. If you're taking notes, write these two references. We're not going to jump to them now. Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6. Both of those passages, Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6, they both speak about when the Holy Spirit comes in us, he is the voice that cries out what? Abba. Now, Abba is a very simple two-syllable Abba. Sounds like a baby, Abba, right? But that's how our spirit cries out to God. That's what the Bible tells us. So again, those of you that just got filled with the Spirit last week, don't feel odd about the limited syllable language that's coming out of your mouth when you speak in tongues. Just keep using it. Keep the river flowing. No one ever told me that. I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 12. I probably had the same three or four syllables from age 12 to about 18 or 19. I never used it. I never did anything with it. I want to encourage you, those that got prayer, keep the rivers flowing. Every chance you get, speak in that language, and it will evolve. I could literally pray 12 hours in a day in the spirit right now. If you lock me in a dark closet, which would be good, that way I'm not distracted by things, you know, books and TV and whatever. You know, lock me in a room and say, can you do this? I could do it, and it would flow like a river. In fact, after 2 hours, you wouldn't be able to shut me down. I'd just go and go and go and go. But see, after years and years, I've developed that language. That language flows from me like the Mississippi River. It's just there. But it takes a while to develop. Amen? Are you in 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
All right. Got a lot to share this morning. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's look at verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Quite honestly, speaking in tongues feels foolish, and speaking in tongues feels weak. But that verse there tells us God's foolishness is wiser. Amen? God's foolishness is wiser. Amen?
Amen.
God's weakness is stronger. Amen?
Yes.
That's what the word says right there, and it's true. The things that are foolish to us and to our natural mind are wiser than our thinking. Wives are really good at helping their husbands in this regard. You know, when we go to make a decision financially or in a big kind of way, whether it's like buying a new car or something that kind of requires a lot of input and a lot of, you know, how should I say it? You want to do the right thing. It's a good reminder to me on an often basis. Scott, don't lean to your own understanding. Terry's really good at grounding me in that truth. And it's true because our mind naturally goes to, I'll just do it the way I've always done it, or I'll do it my way. Right? But that's not the way of the believer. Amen? We're children of God. We're led by the Spirit of God. So how should we start every time? Pray. Seek God. We need your wisdom, Father. We think we want to go this way, but we're open to your wisdom. Why? Because the wisdom of God is wiser. Amen? The foolishness of God, what seems foolish to us, is wiser than the wisdom of man. Amen? And his what seems weak to us, you know, when you speak in tongues, you feel weak because you don't know where the next syllable's coming from, honestly. You don't know what you're about to say next, right? Because you're saying it by faith. Every syllable is stepping out on a limb. But as you do it, the weakness, what feels like weakness to you, is the strength of God and the power of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the scripture tells us here. Look back in verse 24, the verse right before it. But unto them which are called, who's called here? Amen. Those who are called are believers. That's what that's talking about. Those who are believers, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hey, I know it may be a change of habit for you, but and I'm working on this in my own life as well. Make it a habit that as you start to pray about everything, you start in the Spirit first. Amen. You start in the Spirit first. Why? Because you don't know how to pray as you ought. You don't even know how to pray, the Bible tells us. Romans 8:26. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. He helps us. I've taught on it before. That word help is a very interesting word in the Greek. It's real long. Sunanti lombonomai. Say it with me. Sunanti lombonomai. It's a long word. It means to take hold of, opposite, together. That's what happens when you pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes hold of that which concerns you, opposite you. In other words, he's working with you. He's not working against you, and he's not going to do all the work for you. He takes hold of it opposite us together. Amen? He takes hold of that thing when we pray in the Spirit. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit takes hold of that prayer request for you, opposite you, together with you. Amen? Sunanti lambonomai. It's a great Greek word. I love it. Praise the Lord. Well, we're talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The word baptism simply means to immerse. Now, the reason why your Bibles say water baptism or John the Baptist, it should say John the Immerser. But back when the Bible was being, there was a lot of scholar work going on in the days of the Bible, back in the King James days, 1600s, there was a real, real battle between two camps, the people in the Church of England and another camp. There was this idea of, well, babies should just be sprinkled, or believers should just be sprinkled water. And people said, sprinkled with water when they become a believer. And other people said, no, they should be completely immersed. And in the end, a word was actually transliterized from the Greek word baptizo. We created the word baptize. But everywhere in your Bible where it says baptize, really in the New Testament, it should say immerse. Did you know that?
Amen.
But they just didn't want to create a war at the time. They said, let's just tweak the words a little bit. It's not a big deal. But anyways, just so you know, baptism means immersion. It's like a submarine. What does a submarine do? It doesn't stay on top of the water. It starts there, but it goes under the water. Amen? And immersion. You know, when people are going to learn a foreign language, they use this term. You want to learn it quick? Full immersion. Right? What do they mean by that? Go, just jump in. Just swim. Right? Because if you immerse yourself in that culture, in that geography, that place of that language you're trying to learn, you'll learn it much quicker, because you know what? You'll go hungry if you don't. Right? Donde está baño, right? Where's the bathroom, right? You got to learn this stuff quick. It's called full immersion. And so baptized means to be fully immersed or to be all in. What do we mean by all in? Well, if you're a Star Wars fan, that means you got the t-shirt, you got the hat, you got the keychain, you might even have the blanket. That's all in, isn't it? All right, we'll stop there. Praise the Lord. All right, so that's what baptism means. It means to be all in. Praise the Lord. Now, in being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we talk about speaking in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit, right? Once you receive that prayer language from heaven, you speak in the language of what we call speaking in the Spirit. That could be small s or little s. Did you know that? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, big S, but it's your new born-again spirit, little s, that's doing the speaking. Amen? So it's in conjunction. The Holy Spirit in you is giving you the words to say, but your spirit, your born-again spirit, is actually bringing forth those words in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. Revelation, we're reading through the book of Revelation now, and it's just a great blessing. Anytime you read the book of Revelation, you'll be blessed. That's what it says. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Hallelujah. This is John talking, the man that wrote Revelation, the Apostle John. This is not John the Baptist. This is John, whose brother was James. John the Beloved, his brother was James. And John writes here in verse 9 of chapter 1, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Notice that phrase. You should underline it, circle it, highlight it. In the Spirit. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, we naturally assume by reading that phrase, and by the way, he was on the Isle of Patmos, because he had been banished there. Did you know that? John's about 95 years old when he's writing this. May not have been aware of that. John was the oldest living apostle. Of the 11, he's the only one that wasn't martyred to death. The other 10 were martyred for their faith. John died naturally. He died of natural causes around the age of 100, history tells us. But when he wrote this on the Isle of Patmos, Patmos was the equivalent of Alcatraz. It was 24 miles off the coast of Turkey there, out in the ocean. And it was like Alcatraz, like that, you know, a prison island. And that's where political prisoners and the worst prisoners, criminals, were sent. They were sent to Patmos to rot, literally, because there was not. It was hard to find fresh water on the island. It's a real rocky island, real barren. People had to fend for themselves. They were not given food, especially if they were the worst kind of criminals. They were banished there, and they were forced to have to scavenge for their own food. Here's a 95-year-old man. He's brutally arrested in the city of Ephesus there in Turkey, in modern-day Turkey, and he's taken to the Isle of Patmos for his faith. But before that happened, let me tell you a little tidbit of information if you didn't know it. John stood before the emperor at that time, who was the wicked Domitian. And as he stood before Domitian, he refused to burn incense and worship the pagan idols of Rome, and namely the emperor himself. And so Domitian had him boiled in oil before him. But when he stepped into that vat of boiling oil, guess what? It didn't kill him. He's so full of love, so full of the power of Jesus. He got out of he stepped out. It was like stepping into a hot tub. Okay, that felt good. And he just got back out, and he was still alive. And the emperor, you know, his blood vessels were breaking. I mean, he was just hitting the roof. So he banished John, this 95-year-old elderly John, to the Isle of Patmos. That's the background behind this verse that we read in Revelation 1 and verse 10. When he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, the Lord's Day was not what you think. It wasn't just Sunday. It wasn't the Sabbath. The Lord's Day is actually a day, the first day of the month. Each month, the emperor had a day that he called the Lord's Day. It was really an imperial term that meant it was like the worship of the emperor on that day. And so all of the people on that day, they would burn incense. They would express their devotion, their admiration for the emperor. That's what it's meant there on the phrase, the Lord's Day. He's finding Jesus on this day in which all the pagans around him were bowing their knee to a false deity like Domitian. So consider those circumstances when he says, I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. Now, that tells me one thing. You can be in the Spirit when you don't feel like it. Because when you're banished to an island, you're an elderly person, you're fending for your own food and water. The Bible's history tells us he lived in a cave. There's actually a cave there on Patmos you can visit this day. And they say this is the cave that people historically have said John lived in. He slept here. He lived here. This is where Jesus appeared to him, and he wrote the book of Revelation in this cave that he lived in, you know, on Patmos. So, you know, living in a cave, no running water, no easy, you know, no Happy Meals, no DoorDash, you know, no Mexican food, all those great things we've got, no air conditioning. And John says, yet in spite of all this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Pretty powerful, huh? They tried to kill him. A year and a half later, when Domitian was murdered by his own people, John was released as a former political prisoner, and he was allowed to go back to land from Patmos. But during this time while he was there, he had to, by faith, feel in the Spirit. I want you to know this morning, being in the Spirit's not about feelings. It's not a feel-good thing. Amen? You may not feel like praying in tongues at the moment that you need to, but it's not about your feelings. It's not about everything around you being happy and good and joyful. Although it's great if it is. Amen? And nothing wrong with that. Celebrate. But if you're not feeling it, as I'm sure John wasn't necessarily feeling it on this day when everybody around him was worshiping the idols of Rome, he said, I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. I'm so glad that being in the Spirit doesn't have to do with feelings, aren't you? Because it may not feel like something you want to be in at the moment, but you can step into it. And how's the easiest way to step into it? What happens when you do that? The minute you start speaking Spirit, the inner man, the new you, starts coming forth with reality. Beyond your circumstances, beyond your bodily health, how you feel or don't feel, how your emotions do or don't feel, whether you feel up or down. It doesn't matter. Your spirit knows the truth. And when you can be in the Spirit, even in the midst of craziness, amen? Even in the midst of the nuttiest situations. 1 Corinthians 14, will you go there with me, please? 1 Corinthians 14:14. Now, this message is for those of you that haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, because we want everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, just like Scripture says. We want you all to be filled. We want you all to receive this power from Jesus as your baptizer, as your immerser in power, because you need it to live in this dark world. Amen?
That's right.
But beyond that, some of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit way back when, decades ago. But you haven't really exercised that tongue. I want to encourage you. This message is to provoke you to let the rivers flow again. Amen? And to expand those rivers, to let them flow in your life in greater measure. Amen? 1 Corinthians 14:14 says this, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Say that. My spirit prayeth. Let's look at it in the God's Word translation here on the screen. If I pray in another language, and you might put in parentheses beyond that, a language I've never learned, amen, because that's what praying in the Spirit is. I don't know Spanish, but every now and then a few words come out as I'm praying in the Spirit, and they sound Espanol. Now, that's a happy accident, because I don't know it. But he says, if I pray in another language that I haven't been taught, my spirit prays, but my mind is not productive. Amen? You know, there's a really great teaching Andrew Womack does on body, soul, and spirit, talking about man's three-part being. And if you look at it close, it also resembles the tabernacle of Moses. We are a three-part being. And in the wilderness, when the children of Israel were making their way to the promised land, they had what was called the tabernacle. You know what the tabernacle was? It was a tent where God met with the high priest once a year. And here's a picture. This is just something I pulled off the internet, a cutaway. You see the white curtains around that? Around the whole outer edge, that fenced off what we would call the courtyard or the outer court, and the outer court had that gold square that you see with the smoke rising off of it. That's the brazen altar where they would burn the animal sacrifices. Just to the right of that, you see a priest standing at what looks like a big golden bowl. That was the brazen laver. That's where they washed. The priests had to wash their hands and wash themselves because they were handling bloody, you know, goats and bulls and stuff. So they had to wash the blood off their hands before they went into the tent itself. And you see the tent is divided into two parts. So we have the first room that you would walk in going left to right. That would be called the holy place. Man, I wish I had my laser pointer. That would be so fun right now. The holy place. And then beyond that, to the right, that secondary curtain is what we call the Holy of Holies. Well, so if you take this picture of the tabernacle of Moses, it really is a lot like our human makeup. The outer court that the white walls encircle, that outer court represents what? Our body, right? The inner first room, the holy place, represents our soul. Our soul is an inner part of us, but it's not the deepest part of us, right? Our soul is what? Your mind, your will, your emotions, right? That's what makes up our soul, and that's an inner part of us. But there is another place within us, and that is the most holy place or the Holy of Holies, and that is our spirit. Your spirit is the most sanctified, holy part of you. Amen. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, your spirit, the Bible says we get born again. Our spirit is made new and it is as holy as Jesus himself. Amen.
Yeah.
It is what we would call the Holy of Holies. It is the most sanctified part of you, the cleanest part of you, the most righteous part of you. And that is the part of us that in 1 Corinthians 14:14, when it says, when I pray, my spirit, what? My spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Put that back up in King James, please. When I pray, my spirit prays. My spirit prays. But my understanding or my mind is unfruitful. Amen? Let me say this if you're taking notes. We can say this about your three-part being. Your body, senses. Senses. What I mean by that? We got five senses, right? We hear, we see, we smell, we taste, we touch. We have five senses. Our body, senses. Our soul feels, right? You feel happy, you feel sad, you feel blue, you feel depressed. No, you feel joyful, right? Our soul feels. But listen to this. Your spirit knows. Your spirit knows. That is so much more powerful, right? I know when I get in my car and I turn the key, the engine's going to turn over. Don't think much about it, right? I just know that. I turn the key with confidence, right? You come in church, you sit down on these wonderful white plastic chairs that we're so grateful for, and you know it's going to hold you, right? I don't know what the actual test limit is. I don't think any of us have exceeded the test limit on these, but we're good. So the chairs will hold us. We know they will hold us. Listen, your spirit is designed to know. K-N-O-W. This is why, for example, if you want to have a fun experiment, go through the book of 1 John. This is just one example. Go through and circle every time the word know is found in the book of 1 John. It's multitudes of times. Know or known or acknowledge. Why? John said, we know these things. And he tells truth after truth after truth. And every time he tells a truth, he says, we know and rely upon the love God has for us. Right? Why? Because our born-again spirit is all about knowing. Amen. Knowing. Amen? And so when you pray, as 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, and your spirit prays, your spirit is praying with confidence. Your spirit is praying with knowledge. Now, your mind may not figure it out at the moment that you're praying it. But I'll tell you this, when I pray in the spirit for a long time on a given day, usually by the end of that same day, I'll have revelation just fill my mind. I'll go like, where'd that come from? Wow, that's an amazing thought. I never thought about that in the Bible. These are revelations that are coming forth because I sowed to the spirit, S-O-W-E-D. I sowed seed to the spirit while I was praying in tongues, and I reaped a harvest in my understanding. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? Now, for most of us, 1 Corinthians 14:14 might read like this. This is the Scott Anderson version, the SAV version. If I pray in another language, my spirit prays, but my mind is left wondering, what's all this jabbering about? I don't understand a word of it. Let's get back to the real world. What are we having for dinner? I don't feel a thing right now. Isn't this supposed to be spiritual? That's my version of 1 Corinthians 14:14. Listen, you're not supposed to feel something when you're in the spirit. Many times when I get something, I'm up here and I'm about to pray for y'all and the Lord gives me a word of knowledge, I don't feel a thing. I don't feel a thing. I just hear him whisper in my ear, shoulders are being healed today, right? Kidney pain being healed today, whatever it is. That's a knowing. That's the breath of the Spirit. It may or may not be accompanied by any goosebumps, any special feelings. Amen? So the things of the Spirit are known. They're not felt.
Right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen?
So you may not feel spiritual at the time you're operating in the Spirit. Many times the Lord has told me, you know, give such and such amount of money to so-and-so. I don't feel a thing. It's like a gentle whisper in my heart. I just know I'm supposed to do it, right? You ever been led by the, you're led by the Holy Ghost, right? I'm in the right crowd, right bunch? This is not okay. All right. There's a phrase, Brother Hagin used to say, this is really good. Sometimes Christians miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. We miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. The world says it this way, you got to stop and smell the roses along the way, right? And sometimes it's good to just pause and breathe in God around you. Take in the beauty of a luscious lawn of green grass when it's not fried by the Texas sun. Take it in all its beauty and go, wow, what a moment. Heaven on earth. Isn't it amazing to you that although man fell into sin and the curse came, not everything just rotted. It didn't all just fall to pieces. There's still elements of beauty all around us in the world. And so we can take that in. Praise the Lord. You can know that by your spirit. If you'll tune in to that inner man, you can know these things from God. God, you can be out in your yard working. It can be really a hot day, but God can send a gentle breeze. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, the sun shall not smite you by day. I quote that often when I'm working out in the yard in Texas. The sun shall not smite me by day. Why? Because that's his promise. He didn't say you're never going to sweat, but I don't have to be smitten. Amen. I don't have to have a heat stroke while I'm weeding my garden. Praise the Lord. So what is that? That's the breath of God. That's the goodness of God. And I can know it if I'm attuned to it in my heart. I can say, yeah, Father, that's right. And I'll feel that breeze come by and cool me. I'll say, thank you, Lord. The sun doesn't smite me. I know that in my heart. I know his love. I know his touch in those moments. Praise the Lord. Tune into your spirit. Your spirit's designed to know things. You know, there's a famous man named Demas Shikarian, but you may not have ever heard of him. How many of you don't know Demas Shikarian? Never heard of Demas Shikarian? Raise your hand real high. Let me see how many are. Okay, good. I'm going to tell you about Demas Shikarian. You don't know him, so I'm going to tell you about him. Those that do know him, you'll just have to enjoy this story. Demas Shikarian, you may not know, but I'll bet you know this name, Joel Osteen. And some of you that are a little bit older probably know his father, John Osteen. Well, you don't know, you may not know Demas Shakarian, but I'll tell you this, Joel Osteen wouldn't be where he is today if it weren't for Demas Shakarian. And John Osteen wouldn't have risen to the place he rose to as an amazing pastor of a world, you know, world impacting church, Lakewood Church, if it weren't for Demas Shakarian. Why? Because Demas Shakarian became a mighty man of God back in the 70s and 80s. He was most known for starting the Full Gospel Businessmen's International. How many of you ever heard of that? It's an organization where businessmen get together for lunch. It's not a church. They just get together at a local restaurant, and they usually have a meal together, and they'll have a guest speaker get up and share his testimony. And for decades now, the Full Gospel Businessmen's International has led thousands of men to Jesus. Because, you know, a coworker might come to a restaurant with you. They may not come to church, but they might be willing to come to a restaurant, have a meal, and hear a guest speaker. So Demas Shakarian started that organization way back in the 50s. But let me tell you a little bit about Demas, because when John Osteen was kicked out of the Baptist denomination for speaking in tongues and for believing in healing, he was about ready to quit and throw in the towel altogether. And Demas Shakarian hopped a plane and flew to where John Osteen was and encouraged him. He said, "No, this is your finest hour. You can do this. Step up to the plate." And so John got the courage to start having tent meetings. And Demas Shakarian is the man behind the scenes that very few of us know about this story, but he's the man that encouraged John Osteen to keep going when all around him looked like it was falling to pieces. And of course, you know, the rest is history. But Demas is an amazing man. Let me tell you a little bit about Demas. In the 1940s, his family owned the largest private dairy in the U.S. They had dairy cows back on the West Coast. In the 1940s, they were the largest privately owned dairy farm. They immigrated to L.A. from Armenia. They were an Armenian family, thus the interesting name, around the year 1900. When they landed in Los Angeles, they were pleased to find some other Pentecostal believers who happened to be worshiping down at a warehouse on Azusa Street. That was the first Christians they bumped elbows with when they landed in L.A. So that was some good fellowship right there. They came to America by a revelation of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't their choice, to uproot from their homeland country, their little village of Caracalla in Armenia, and pick up and go to America. It wasn't by choice. It was by the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you how that story shook out. Demas's grandfather wasn't much believer in the Holy Ghost. He was a Christian, but he always thought Pentecostals and tongue talkers were a little bit odd, until one day he was confronted with a man who, by a word of knowledge, kind of revealed some things about some of the butcher work he had done in his farm, and it shocked him, and he fell to his knees and got prayer right there on the spot to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And this Russian man who was visiting, a group of Russian believers who came to Armenia, he laid hands on Demas's grandfather and got him filled with the Holy Ghost. From that moment on, Demas' grandfather took a different view of one of the most well-known residents in Caracalla, and that was the man they called the Boy Prophet. Let me tell you about the Boy Prophet. 50 years previous, the Boy Prophet, when he was 11 years old, had gone into what we would call like a modern-day trance. He used to have these extended times of prayer and fasting as a child, and at age of 11, he went into a seven-day prayer vigil on his own, and in a time of prayer and fasting. And while he was seeking God, God revealed some things to him that helped bring Demas Shakarian's family to America. Let me tell you what happened. He saw letters pass before his eyes. This child was illiterate. He had not been schooled at all, didn't know how to read or write. But he saw these letters pass before his eyes, and he asked for a pen and paper. And somebody gave him pen and paper, and he started writing down these letters. They were Russian letters. And he wrote in Russian this message, and then he sketched an outline of a map. And it looked like an ocean of some sort that he sketched on that map, but it wasn't the nearby Caspian Sea or even the Mediterranean Sea. It was the Atlantic Ocean, unbeknownst to him. He sketched this out on paper. And the message basically said, there's going to come a day in which all of us need to flee this country, and we're going to need to go to a land far, far away. When we land in America, well, he didn't know it was America. He just drew the outline of it. When we land there, we're not going to stay on the East Coast. We're going to migrate to the West Coast, and there the Lord will prosper us. And thus, the Demas Shakarian family and their success in the dairy industry. 50 years later, after age 11, he told his people, it's time to go. This was the year 1900. 14 years later, forces, people from Turkey, came into that area, into Armenia, and marched some 1 million plus men, women, and children in the Mesopotamian desert and brought them to their deaths. Everybody from that village that stayed behind was killed. The people that heeded the word of the Lord through an 11-year-old prophet, the boy prophet, they lived. That's the Demas Shakarian story. Why do you bring that up, Pastor? Wow, you got so emotional on that. Yeah, I did. It's powerful because when the Holy Ghost tells you something and you know it by the Spirit, yes, not your emotions, not your head, because this boy was illiterate. He didn't know how to write or speak Russian. He probably never heard of the Atlantic Ocean, but that's the map he drew, and that's the way he said to go. Listen, folks, it's so important in these last days we learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. It may save our lives.
That's right.
A few years back, we went through the COVID pandemic. The Spirit led our church through a winding, through quite a winding way in regards to medical protocols, things we should do. And we got through this. We got through it. We recovered as a body supernaturally because we listened to the voice and the direction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And through the help of some, God bless them, doctors. My goodness. The Apostle John said, we know things by the Spirit. As I said, go through the book of 1 John, circle everywhere there's the word know. It'll be an interesting discovery for you. We know by the Spirit. Paul said this. He said, the things of God are they're foreign to us, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Amen? By His Spirit, we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. Peter, who was a wavering, emotional, unstable character in the Gospels, became rock-solid Peter when? After he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. He was no longer afraid to stand up and say he even knew Jesus. He's a different man in his epistles, his letters written, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, than he was in the Gospel account of his life. Amen? And what is the difference? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Folks, it'll change you. Folks, it'll change you. It will make a different person out of you. Amen?
Amen.
And it comes through knowing. In 2018, we were at a minister's conference in Colorado at Andrew Womack School. And a man stood up at one of the morning sessions, and it was a large session. There was probably, 1,500, 2,000 people in attendance. And you could tell by the way they handled it that it's not the norm that they allowed prophetic words to come from the audience on a regular basis. You know, it was a large group, and the larger you get, you got to have some rules or systems in place for that. But this man was a trusted man, and they brought him to the stage, gave him the microphone, and he gave him a unique word of prophecy. And he said, "There's this phenomenon in the natural world where volcanoes go dormant after a while." And they stop erupting, and they may go for years and years, maybe even hundreds of years, where there's no activity at all. And we would call that volcano dormant. And he said, there's a thing that's happening in the Spirit. And much like a dormant volcano, God is bringing to life again a phenomenon. And that phenomenon is, to the body of Christ, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I love that analogy he gave, the dormant volcano coming alive. See, my parents and myself, you know, back in the 70s, we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's been this slow erosion, particularly here in the United States. I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, but here in the U.S., it has been this stepping away from this experience.
Yeah.
More and more Christians you meet, and they're just like in Acts chapter 19, where Paul met those men in Ephesus, and they said, we've not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Why? Because churches aren't preaching it. It's a little awkward to speak in tongues. And so people are shying away from it. Feels like foolishness. Feels like weakness. But we read from Scripture, it's Christ the power of God. It's Christ the wisdom of God. Amen? And it makes all the difference in a person's life. It is the volcano that's coming alive again. Hallelujah. I want to end with a few scriptures today, just looking at this experience we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. This was a prophetic word given about Israel in their rejection of the Messiah. Isaiah 28:11 tells us what God was going to do in the last days. Look at Isaiah 28:11 in your scriptures there. Isaiah 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. What? That's right. With stammering lips. What happened on the day of Pentecost? thousands of Jews gathered around a building with an upper room up there where the 120 were meeting for unceasing prayer for days, and the Holy Ghost had fallen. And what happened? The people of the town heard these languages pouring out of the windows, languages being spoken by people they knew did not know those languages, were not from those places. Amen? And with stammering lips, just like this verse says here, with stammering lips and another tongue, the apostles and the 120 spoke to the Jewish people that were surrounding that building. Verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But I want you to underline those phrases there. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. Amen. You know, especially at this time of year, we can appreciate it. I had someone bring me some fresh homemade ice cream the other day. It was just awesome. Ice cream is so good in the summertime. Amen. Bluebell, if you don't know the story behind it, the man that owned Bluebell back in the early 1900s, a guy named Cruz, K-R-U-S-E, Cruz was his last name. Mr. Cruz, his favorite flower was the Bluebell because it's a flower that thrives in summertime, and thus the name, right? A little ice cream history for those of you that were just wondering. Okay, just curious. And you know, the earth had its fill of ice cream back in 2015 when they had that recall and they had to dump 8 million plus gallons of ice cream into a landfill. Wow, talk about eat all we can and sell the rest. The earth was having a great day that day, wasn't it? A landfill swallowed up 8 million gallons of ice cream. Oh, that's awesome. Isaiah 44. Are you getting it? This is the refreshing. When we were in Israel back in 2018, you know, Israel's a desert country. I didn't think about this when we went, but man, we drank so much water. It was hot. We went in the summertime. And at one point, they took us to the north side of Israel to this nature preserve. It was the Dan, D-A-N, like the tribe of Dan, the Dan Nature Preserve. And it was like walking into it really felt like you were in the Garden of Eden. It was just beautiful, beautiful. We were under all these canopies of trees and walking through these winding paths. And I thought, man, this must be what Adam and Eve experienced in Eden. And it was just wonderful. But it was a hot day. And I remember we got to this one point and there was this big area, kind of an open area, like a courtyard, but it was still under the canopy of trees. And there was about this much, about 6 inches of standing water that was being fed to this area. And it was just sitting there like a pool. It was fresh. It was like fresh water that was like a pool, a spring-fed pool. And you could just take your shoes off and stand in that cool water. And it was awesome. It was a refreshing. And listen, if you need a refreshing, this is why we had the altar call today. You need a refreshing in your spirit. There is no better way to get a refreshing in your inner man, your spirit man. Not your emotions, not your intellect, but your spirit, than to take some time out and go and pray in the Holy Ghost or sing in the Holy Ghost. Let the rivers flow. Let that refreshing come. What does Isaiah call it there in Isaiah 28:12? Times of refreshing. Refreshing. Cooling comes from the Lord. Amen? Through this language that God gives us. Look at Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Hey, parents with young children, you young mothers, you want to bless your children? Speak in tongues over them. Sing in tongues over them. Amen. That's the best way to pray for your kiddos. It's the best way to bring blessing. What does this say here? I'll pour blessing upon their offspring. How does he do it? As you let those rivers flow. Amen. You let the Holy Ghost just pour out upon your kids, your grandkids, you grandparents. Now I'll speak to you older folks. You kids, you people got grandparents in here. You grandkids, you people have grandkids in here, like myself. When they come over to your house, speak in tongues over them quietly under your breath. Pray in tongues over them. Pour the living water upon those grandkids, upon those kids. You don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing and saying and pouring out. Listen, we need to get back to being a supernatural people. Amen. Amen. I'm looking for some boy prophets. Amen. Save a village, save a nation of people by hearing the Holy Ghost in times of trouble. Amen. We need to get back to those moments where people fall into a trance of the Holy Ghost, not the devilish kind of trance, but a Holy Ghost trance. And God gives them messages that will save a nation. Amen. We need to fall back into that mystery of experiencing what the Holy Ghost can do and how God can avert danger and avert trouble by his leading because we know it in our spirit. How many of you ever heard of Dale Evans? Roy Rogers? That was his wife. Dale Evans was a wonderful woman of God, and in her later years, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but she was much older. And just after she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I guess she had an adopted daughter, a little Korean girl, and that girl was in some sort of car accident, was killed. And Dale Evans' testimony later was, I do not know what I would have done had I not had the ability to reach out to God from my heart with this language that he gives us and pray in the Spirit. She said, it was a great comfort to me in that time of darkness in my life. Listen, folks, when you don't know how to pray, I heard a wonderful testimony of a mom whose son, I think he and his brother had been messing around with a gun or something. A gun had gone off and this boy was shot in the head. He was in the hospital. The parents were away. It was during the daytime, but the boys were teenagers and the parents were away on some sort of outing, just a date probably. And the mom got the message. She's rushing to the hospital in the car. And she was not previously filled with the Holy Ghost, but her spirit man was crying out so fervently on behalf of her son, she just started blurting out in tongues prayers for him. Hey, that's powerful. I'm telling you, when you don't know how to pray, you pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit, and God will intervene. But Dale Evans said that. She said, this was the comfort to my soul when I needed it. Isaiah 58. Turn over a few more chapters. Isaiah 58. I've got two more verses for you, and we'll be done. Isaiah 58, 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Hey, that's your soul and your body, isn't it? That's taking care of both parts. And how is he going to do it? He said, you'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Well, where are those going to come from? They're going to come from your spirit. Amen. Amen? They're going to come from the Holy of Holies, the deepest part of you. Listen, if you need living waters in your soul, you need living waters in your body, it's not going to come from reading a book and filling your mind with more intellect or going to the mall and having some happy, good feeling. Listen, it's going to come from within. And where does it come? He describes it here as living waters, like a spring of living water. You'll be a watered garden whose waters fail not. Hallelujah. God brings the refreshing from the Holy Ghost within us. Amen. Listen, you can't satisfy spiritual thirst with physical things. You know, sometimes when you get the urge to reach for something out of the pantry, it's really your spirit crying out for God. Not always. I mean, sometimes you're just flat out hungry. And sometimes you're trying to satisfy a spiritual craving with a physical element, and it won't work. Amen? So check yourself. You might actually lose weight in the process, you know? Jesus said, he who drinks this well will thirst again. He was talking about natural water to the woman at the well. Paul said this in Ephesians, the latter part of the book of Ephesians. He said, be not drunk with wine. I'm convinced there's such a plethora of alcohol in our society today because people are spiritually, what's the word? Dehydrated. Yeah. People are so thirsty inwardly, they're running after every drink under the sun and every mixed drink and this drink and that drink. Why? Because it's a spiritual craving. Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, the alcohol sales in this country are going to go down through the floor the minute our people in America get a hold of, again, the Holy Ghost, the living water, you know? Your body is like over 70% water. The most satisfying thing you can drink is water. Well, that's spiritually speaking, that's the same way. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy like the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled and letting your spirit man come alive and come in contact with that living water that truly satisfies. One last verse in John chapter 7. Would you turn there real quick with me, please? I wanted to give you plenty of word today. I don't really know what to call this message, but we'll figure out a title. But it's just, I want to encourage you. Listen, those of you that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's time to prime the pump. If you got filled with the Spirit 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you still have the same 3-4 syllables that you're speaking over and over again, you got to spend some time in this. It's time for you to let that river expand. Amen. God wants it to become not just some little, what do you call that? Like a artesian spring, a little spring. He wants it to become the Mississippi River. Amen. And it can be that in you if you'll give yourself to it. If you'll give yourself to it. But I want to encourage you today. There's no condemnation in that. But I just want to say, if your language isn't expanding, it's because you're not spending time with it. And every time you speak in tongues, you should expect new syllables. Amen. I know this sounds like grammar school, but this is spiritual stuff. I'm serious. You should expect new syllables. You should expect new dialects. You should expect new expansion. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is broader than any river that exists in this world. And the rivers He wants to have flow out of us are endless.
Yes.
They are abounding. Amen? And in time of need, in time of trouble, when you need refreshing, when you need cooling, when you need reviving, that river will be there for you if you'll learn to tap it.
Hallelujah.
Learn to tap it. Look at John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly." Well, what's your belly represent? It's not your belly button, and it's not your emotions. It's not your feel-good place. It's your what? It's your spirit. Out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Stand together with me. Listen, as we close out today, I want to make available to you, I know we've gone a little bit over, but I think it's a worthy cause, the Word of God. I know it is. I want to make available, if you'd like prayer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have not yet received your prayer language, meet Terry and I over on this side area over here, to my right, your left, and we're going to pray for you, and you're going to receive. Amen? Jesus said, if a man asks God for a fish, will he give him a stone? Or will he give him a scorpion? No, he's not going to give you something harmful. He's not going to give you something you can't use. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit himself. Amen? So if you want these rivers I've been talking about, you want to be filled today with the Holy Spirit, he's going to fill you to overflowing. Or if you say, Pastor, I'm that dry well you've been talking about. I'm that dormant volcano. And I need someone to agree with me in prayer and pray for these rivers to burst forth afresh. We're going to pray for those of you that maybe haven't spoken tongues in 15, 20 years. We won't tell nobody. All right. But you might need prayer just to uncap that well, in a sense. Amen. And we're going to pray with you for that flow to just be just burst open. Amen. Amen. So as we close out today, listen, if you have any other prayer needs, we'll be around for that as well. But just know this. The Lord is calling us as a church to step back into this, which has been so abandoned in our country. I hate that this is the reality. That, you know, we're kind of stepping back into elementary steps here talking about this subject. But it's a necessary thing. Amen. We can only move forward in the Spirit to the degree that we give ourselves to this experience. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is very initial. It's very elementary. It's very start out. But it moves from there into what? The other nine gifts of the Spirit. Hey, have you ever seen an angel? Have you ever seen a demon? That's the gift called the discerning of spirits. But I doubt you're going to flow in that gift and see those things in your life if you haven't started with baby step number one, which is praying in the unknown language, being filled with the Holy Ghost to overflowing. Amen? It starts there, and it overflows to the other things, miracles and healings, etc. So as we close out today, listen, be blessed. Guys, don't forget Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. We'll see you at the Rotary. And Ryan, would you come close us in prayer? And if you want to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, meet us over here to my right, to your left, and we're going to pray for you for that today. Go ahead.